Today's reading is Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Brothers and sisters, if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual should restore someone like this with the spirit of gentleness. Watch out for yourselves so you won't be tempted too. Carry each other's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are important when they aren't, they're fooling themselves. Each person should test their own work and be happy with doing a good job and not compare themselves with others. Each person will have to carry their own load. Those who are taught the word should share all good things with their teacher. Make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. Those who plant only for their own benefit will harvest devastation from their selfishness, but those who plant for the benefit of the Spirit will harvest eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not get tired of doing good, because in time we'll have a harvest if we don't give up. So then, let's work for the good of all whenever we have an opportunity, and especially for those in the household of faith. The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As Melinda said earlier, we are beginning our Advent sermon series based upon Charles Dickens' story, A Christmas Carol. You'll see we have our Scrooge Bah Humbug up there as a reminder of who Scrooge is. Some of you gathered at 9 a.m. today to start your study in a group, and you'll notice that on the, as Melinda said on the insert, you'll find information if you'd like to join a study through the week or on Sunday mornings. It's not too late. If you miss today, it's not too late to get started with a group. The Redemption of Scrooge is a series that looks at our culture, and namely our secular Christmas. In Confirmation, we've been talking about there's kind of two kinds of Christmas. There's the kind of Christmas where we celebrate the birth of Christ, and then there's the secular Christmas that society celebrates. You've probably all experienced secular Christmas. It started the day after Halloween, right? In the stores, right? Secular Christmas already started, even though we're just in Advent. And what I've been trying to help them understand is that Christmas actually does not start until the birth of Christ. In fact, it doesn't start until December. Well, we celebrate it December 24th on Christmas Eve, December 25th, Christmas Day. And then the season of Christmas is the 12 days of Christmas. If you recall that song, one of my favorites, right? Is it one of your favorites? No, it's not. But the 12 days of Christmas are our Christmas Day until Epiphany, when the wise men arrived in Bethlehem. And so that's actually Christmas. So we're actually not in the season of Christmas. We're in the season of Advent. And our society is in secular Christmas right now. And so what we're going to do throughout the month of December as we are in this season of Advent is we're going to try to find the divine amid the ordinary everyday life. If we are to be people who live out our faith 7 days a week, then we must be willing to see God in the everyday things of life and not just when we come together in worship on Sunday morning. We need to see God and allow God to transform our lives so that as we live in the culture that is already celebrating Christmas, we can retell God's story and talk about how our faith has grown in the midst of this season of Advent and this time of the coming of Christ. My friends, the divine exists all around us, and we catch a glimpse of it when we view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. This Advent season, we will search for the divine in the life and the redemption of Ebenezer Scrooge. And hopefully we will find it in our own lives as well. So who knows the story, A Christmas Carol? Raise your hand if you've read it or seen it or seen it in a play. Okay, so a fair number of you know the story of Scrooge. Many of you probably know it even if you haven't seen it. To give you a brief overview as we head into this redemption of Scrooge, we meet Scrooge and we quickly discover that he is bitter and angry and selfish, and he's not motivated by love at all. He's motivated by money. He values discipline in his own life, and he values being frugal with his money so that he has more to hang on to. It is these characteristics that cause him to turn away from the people that try to pull him in. His nephew to celebrate Christmas, those folks that want to have him give money to the poor, and Bob Cratchit, his employee, who wants Christmas Day off to celebrate with his family. On this first day that we meet Scrooge in the beginning of the story, Scrooge goes home to his mansion that he inherited from his business partner, Jacob Marley. And in there, he is confronted by the first ghost. And then there are a series of three more ghosts that come upon him. We're going to see in a clip, the ghosts of 1980s, or late 70s, early 80s aren't the ghosts of now, so hopefully it's not too scary for our children. But he goes, and three ghosts are going to visit him for the purpose of having Scrooge change his ways. His business partner, Jacob Marley, died 7 years earlier. And if you read the book, the first line in the book is, Jacob Marley was dead. Okay, they want us to know that. Charles Dickens wants us to know that his business partner, Jacob Marley, was dead. And Jacob visits him and says, I don't want you to end up like me, so you better change your ways. And Jacob Marley is laden with heavy chains, chains of the selfishness that he had. You see, the two of them work together in a counting house. And we can sort of equate that to an accounting firm now, but it was the counting house. They counted money for other people and kept a fair portion for themselves. So Scrooge is hardened by life, and Marley, together they were very shrewd in their business. And as we meet Marley here in just a moment, he basically says to Scrooge, 7 years ago your chains were like mine, and you've done a lot more damage to yourself, a lot more selfishness since then. So look out, you need to change your ways. And so we're going to watch a short clip about Jacob Marley, and George C. Scott plays Scrooge in this version. You may have seen this one. It's late 70s, early 80s, I think. So.
Much. Who are you? Ask me who I was. You're particular for a ghost.
Who are you then?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Can you sit down?
I can.
We'll do it then.
You don't believe in me.
I don't.
evidence would you have of my reality beyond that of your own senses?
I don't know.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing affects them, a slight disorder of the stomach. It might be a bit of bad beef, a blot of mustard, a fragment of an underdone potato. More of gravy than of grave about you, whatever you are. Humbug, I tell you, humbug.
Merce. Dreadful apparition. Why do you trouble me?
Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
I do, I must. But why do spirits walk the earth? Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared, and turn to happiness.
Chained. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. Is its pattern strange to you? Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was as full, as heavy, and as long as this seven Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain.
I see no chain.
Mine were invisible until the day of my death, as yours shall be.
Jacob, tell me more. Speak comfort to me.
I have none to give. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house. In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hole.
No doubt of that. You always were a good man of business.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my bitterness.
I'm sorry for you, Jacob. Is there anything I can do
for me?
For Ebenezer Scrooge, change is hard. And he's coming to him and telling him that he will have to endure some spirits. In fact, he even says, can they all come at once, or do I really have to do this? Their meeting goes on together. Before meeting with Marley, before this part starts, he has asked for money for people that are in need. He's invited to his nephews for Christmas. Bob Cratchit is working with gloves on because it's so cold, because he only gets one piece of coal in the fire. Scrooge is very, very stingy, and it's about changing Scrooge. This is what this is all about. In our scripture reading today, in Galatians 6:7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Scrooge will tell you in his narration in the beginning that people deserve what they get. The poor don't need money because they're poor because they deserve it. Whatever they have in their life, they must have earned it. He doesn't feel like he needs to help out in any way. He has virtually no sympathy for anyone that he meets. He spent his life living in darkness. And the darkness is his own making, from his father's rejection, his mother died in childbirth, and the woman whom he loved rejected him as well. And so he put up barriers. This is a story of a man who has put up barriers. for any person that has tried to get close to Scrooge. He's blocked out the light of Christ. And as a result, Scrooge's life lacks peace and contentment. Marley tells Scrooge that his fate will be like his own, that there will be lack of peace in the afterlife because of the life that he has lived. Marley is wandering around without peace. He says, I don't have any chains. Where are my chains? And he said, they showed up after I died. And then he's destined to walk in this darkness always. In Luke's gospel, they talk about a rich man, Lazarus, and and a man named Lazarus who sits at his gate. And every day, the Lazarus reach out for a piece of food or a little bit of comfort from the rich man, and the rich man denies him. And then he dies. And Lazarus goes to heaven, and the rich man goes elsewhere. And the rich man can see Lazarus up in heaven and says, hey, could Lazarus just dip his finger in some water and give me a drink? And Abraham says to him, no, you may not. He may not, because you had your chance to help Lazarus in your lifetime, and you chose not to. So now let Lazarus have all the good things that are of heaven, and you need to suffer because you had it all good in life, and now you will suffer. That is the fate of Marley, and that will be the fate of Scrooge if he does not redeem himself. It is a life of hardship if he does not change. Marley and Scrooge are like the rich man, and Marley's fate will never be changed, but Scrooge can change his fate. Scrooge has all these chains that he's carrying. He doesn't want to help anybody, and he just wants all this money. You have a choice in your life that you can help people. These are really, really heavy. Can you imagine carrying these chains? I invite you to, like, what are these, hauling logs? Is that what they are used for? All kinds of things. What? Pulling tractors out of the mud. Okay, hauling logs. Okay, can you imagine wearing these? This is what Marley had to do. In fact, he had probably extra weight on there. And he's basically saying to Scrooge, if you don't change, you're going to have even more chains than I have, and you're going to wallow in this in the afterlife. Consider how you live your life. Have you forged chains of selfishness? Have you forged chains of indifference? Have you forged chains of only thinking for yourself? In the book, The Redemption of Scrooge, they talk about how we're called to live our lives. When we fail to see that class is a human construct built around false belief, when we decide that some souls are worth more than others, because really Scrooge and Marley think that their lives are worth more than other people's, then we forge chains like that. Galatians 1-3 says, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person. Carry each other's burdens, and we will fulfill the law of Christ. So we can carry chains, or we can carry one another's burdens. Those are kind of our choices in life. Scrooge and Marley carried chains of selfishness. But there was a better way. There is a better way, and we're called to carry one another's burdens. In this time of Advent, we have a choice going through this time of Advent. We can celebrate secular Christmas. We had evidence of that on Thanksgiving and Black Friday and Saturday, right? Lots of good ads out there with all kinds of stuff that we think we need. When we do that, though, it's hard for us to carry other people's burdens. When we spend too much on ourselves, when we do too much of our own selfish living, then we aren't able to carry one another's burdens. My friends, whose burdens will you carry? Will you plant seeds of love, or will you plant seeds of selfishness? Will you forge chains like that? Selfishness and bickering and jealousy and anger, gathering material possessions. We have a choice. We have a choice this Advent. We have a choice in our lives that we can carry chains or we can carry one another's burdens. As I talked about the reverse Advent, that's one way to carry one another's burdens. Serving in the time of Advent is another way to carry one another's burdens. I invite you this Advent season to slow down and to listen to what God is putting on your heart. Whose burdens is God calling you to carry? The scripture reading today ends with these words: "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, do good. Carry one another's burdens." Amen.